You may be seated. We'll be in John chapter 3 tonight. And we will finish, Lord willing, the chapter this evening of John chapter 3, beginning in verse 35. God finishes this chapter by reminding us that Jesus Christ came to rescue us from the wrath of God, which is justly due us for our sin. Notice verse 35, "The Father loveth the Son, and hath given all things into his hand. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him." So that'll be my title, "The Wrath of God Abideth on Him." Let's pray. Lord, we love you. We pray for your wisdom tonight, for your presence, that you'd speak to us through your word and use it in our lives, and that you would be pleased with our service. Lord, you give us a special time of prayer, one for another later. We just thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. So the Father loveth the Son. What a great way to start off the passage. Go to John 17, where Jesus Christ is speaking to his disciples in the upper room, and he stops in the midst of encouraging his disciples and prays. And I often personally refer to John 17 as the Lord's Prayer. Matthew 6, I prefer to refer to as the model prayer. But here we have Jesus actually praying for his disciples and for us. And in the midst of that, notice John 17, verse 23, he says, "And ye now therefore have sorrow, but I will see you again. And your heart shall rejoice, and your joy no man taketh from you. And in that day you shall ask me nothing. Verily, verily, I say unto you, whatsoever you shall ask the Father in my name, he will give it you." And then if you look down in John 17, 26, "At that day you shall ask in my name, and I say not unto you that I will pray the Father for you." That's John 17? No, I'm in John 16. No wonder it didn't sound right. Wow. Well, they were good verses. Okay, John 17:23. Yeah, no wonder it didn't sound right. "I in them, and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that thou hast sent me, and hast loved them as thou hast loved me." Well, that sounds a lot better, doesn't it? Verse 26, "And I have declared unto them thy name, and will declare it, that the love wherewith thou hast loved me may be in them, and I in them." So Jesus, just in his prayer, just saying to the Father that the Father loves him. And as he said here in John 3:35, "and hath given all things into his hand." Jesus Christ humbled himself to become a man, to become a servant, but he still had all power. Go to Matthew 28:18, and we'll see this, that Jesus Christ, even while he was on the earth, had all power, which reminds us that when he was tried, when he was crucified, it was he voluntarily submitted to those things. Matthew 28:18, "Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth." So Jesus Christ had all power. All things were given into his hands. And so back in our passage, John 3:36, "He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life." And we've already talked about this over in verse 13, or verse 15, that whosoever believeth on him shall not perish but have eternal life. But Jesus is reminding them here at the end of the chapter, when we believe on the Son, we receive everlasting life. John 6:47 is my favorite. "Forever I say unto thee, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life." Present possession, when we place our faith on Christ, when we trust him, when we believe on him, we receive eternal life at that moment, everlasting life. But the point of this last verse is, verse 36, it's the not. "He that believeth not."
I didn't catch that.
Well, listen next time. It's one of those nights, eh? I turned her off. That was good. "He that believeth not." So, as I tell the Iwana kids all the time on Tuesday nights, what do you have to do to go to hell? Ethan?
Nothing.
Nothing. See, he listens. Adam, tell me all seven things you have to do to go to hell.
Nothing.
Yeah, exactly. Nothing. Because by not believing on Christ, you are essentially rejecting Christ. That's what God is saying. He that believeth not. So go to Mark 16. We'll look at some scriptures together. This word not is an important word, because this defines those who will perish without Christ and spend eternity in hell. It's not about works. It's about the rejection of the solution to their sin problem, their Savior, Jesus Christ. Mark 16, verse 16, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be what? Damned. He that believeth not. And then 1 John 5, verse 11. A lot of you know this passage. This is the passage we use in our Awana clubs to teach the kids what, Ethan? But the world has what? Two groups of people alive and dead. See, Ethan could have preached this message. We have two groups of people in the world, alive and dead, and this passage teaches that, 1 John 5:11. This is the record God hath given to us eternal life. This life is in his Son. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. So there's that word not again. So Jesus says, he that believeth not the Son shall not see life. Now life, as I shared, is one of the key words of the book of the Gospel of John. The two key words of John. James, what's the other one? Believe. Believe in life. Those are the two key words of John. That's what it's all about. Believe over 100 times, life over 65 times. When you believe, you receive life. And Jesus is the life. So what happens? Verse 36 of our passage. Those who believe not, here's the key, the wrath of God abideth on him. The wrath of God abideth on him. Remember we looked at verse 18? Look at it again. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned, what? Already. You don't have to do something to be condemned. You are already condemned as a sinner. It's a given. And the wrath of God abides on him. So not believing on the Son is the same as rejecting the Son. And if you reject the Son, you're rejecting the Father. Because the Father sent the Son and loves the Son, as he said in verse 35. So this wrath, this condemnation, is already on those who are lost. And that is called justice, as we talked last week. So let's look at a couple of verses on this, John 5:24, and just understand that the wrath of God already abides on the lost, that they're already on their way to hell, that they don't have to do anything to go to hell. It's a done deal. The only thing they can do to stop that is to repent and trust Christ and receive eternal life. And then notice John 5:24, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation. So when we receive eternal life, when we trust Christ, the condemnation is removed. The condemnation that's already there, the wrath that's already there, God removes it, praise the Lord. And if you go to Romans 5, for us as Christians, not only is the condemnation of our sin removed, but because we're born in the dispensation of the church age, even the wrath of God, remember that's what it says in John 3:36, the wrath of God, even the wrath that will be poured out on the earth during the tribulation period, we are rescued from. Isn't that exciting? Romans 5:9. Much more than being justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. So we are already saved from the wrath of our sin, but we will also be rescued from the wrath of the tribulation. Because that is the definition of that seven-year period, is when God pours out his wrath upon the earth. It's called the time of Jacob's trouble. We've seen as we walk through Isaiah all the words God uses to describe it, but ultimately it's God pouring out his wrath on Israel and the earth We're going to be saved from that. And probably one of the most beautiful pictures of that in the Old Testament is Lot and his family. Remember, the angels were sent to say, we can't destroy this city until you're not in it. And they didn't want to leave, and the angels literally grabbed them by the elbows and carried them almost out of town or out of the city before the fire and brimstone can come down and destroy it. And that is exactly what God's going to do. He's going to come, he's going to blow the trumpet, he's going to remove the church, and then comes the wrath. Praise the Lord. We've been saved from the wrath to come. And then Hebrews 2:3, one more. And so the point of these final verses is that he that believeth not the Son, we've heard a lot of encouraging great truths about those who believe the Son and receiving eternal life, but he who chooses to believe not is essentially rejecting the Son, and that means that the wrath of God still abides on that person. And notice Hebrews 23, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him. So neglect, same as reject. And as we saw up in verses 19 and 20, why do people reject Christ? It's about sin. It's ultimately because they do not want the light of Jesus Christ shining on the sin in their lives. They're not willing to admit they're a sinner and that they are accountable for their sin. They'd rather not acknowledge that, because you have to acknowledge that you're lost before you can be saved. How sad that it's available as a gift and people reject it. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So the wrath of God abideth on him. On who? He that believeth not. So the only solution is the gospel. Amen? Let's tell people they can be rescued from this wrath. They just need to trust Christ and be rescued. Praise the Lord. Let's pray.